What drives competitive amateur athletes? In Trish Carter's case, let's think multiple choice. A, curiosity about how well she can do if she works harder. B, determination to recover from a serious injury. C, desire to prove women of a certain age shouldn't be written off as athletes. And the answer is D, all of the above, and also E, some other stuff. Trish Carter's first experiences as an athlete didn't discourage her, which is sort of amazing.
I was a Title IX baby in Connecticut. I joined the boys' track team. You know, the coach hated the whole idea. And the first day, he tried to shake us all.
But Trish Carter didn't get shaken.
Then I became a half-miler because that was the shortest race you could put more than three competitors in without wasting a lane on a girl. And I'd get out there and, you know, I'd be faster than some kid. So I'd pass him, and invariably, those guys would drop out of the race with shin splints and side aches and all manner of affliction. I was like the plague every time I passed somebody.
Carter passed enough runners to qualify for the state track meet. And?
2 days before the meet, I asked my coach what my lane was going to be. And he said, oh, gosh, forgot to send in your card. That was it. I never got to race against girls. I didn't go to the state meets. I always felt like I could have been someone, could have been a contender.
Fast forward to adulthood. Having accepted that running track was out, Trish Carter founded and ran the Dancing Deer Baking Company, famous for its cookies. And absent a discouraging coach, she started competing in marathons as well. And when that started to beat up her knees, she began riding a bike, seriously enough to impress other bike riders.
Someone said, "You, Trish, you ought to race. You're fast." And so I did. I jumped in with no preparation and really no clue what I was doing.
Unfortunately, one day back in 2010, she encountered a motorist who had the same problem, and that combination made for a bicyclist's nightmare.
I was coming into an intersection. I knew the light was about to turn green as it did. I was going fast and, in retrospect, possibly too fast. A car broke the red arrow on the other side and turned left in front of me. So I just had to slam on the brakes, and the bike went flying. I went flying, landed on my head, and kind of everything on my left side was either broken or dislocated or scraped off or rearranged or cracked.
Did you know right away that you were seriously injured?
I suspected.
Her suspicions were correct, and the most serious injury was to her brain. For months, she slept all day. Tests found her processing speed was slow and her executive functioning was compromised.
It wasn't clear whether I would get back to a professional career.
Carter would eventually lose her company, though not because of the injury, because in this particular case, pessimism lost out to patience and therapy.
I did, over time, get my brain back. I think it's better than ever, slightly rearranged.
Maybe Carter should have been leery of climbing back on a bicycle, and she was for a little while, and then she wasn't.
I wanted to get fit and strong again. I liked being that way. So it came to me, this idea that I could ride up Mount Washington, that that would be an adequate goal and help me make this recovery.
Trish Carter's rearranged brain figured out that falling off a bike headed slowly uphill wouldn't be a big deal. Even if that hill was a mountain, climbing it wouldn't be as dangerous as speeding through a busy intersection, and a tumble wouldn't hurt much.
It's more of a tilt over than it is an accident.
So she did, in fact, take on the 2011 Mount Washington Auto Road Bicycle Hill Climb, described as one of the two toughest hill climbs in the world.
I came across the summit finish line, and I don't know, other than having my two children, that there was ever a more glorious, rewarding, emotional moment. I knew that this was all part of my asserting to myself that I was okay, that I could do stuff. I wasn't a failure. It was some kind of a point of inflection in my life.
So there she was at the top of Mount Washington, and for anyone else, it might have been all downhill from there, but not for Trish Carter. She heard about a competition called the Race Across America, RAM for short, but It isn't short because it goes from Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland. Carter had friends who had completed the race, and one day she went to check on their times. The results were categorized by age group.
As I was scrolling through, I became aware of seeing no women's names after I passed the 50s. And I went back and I looked again. And there were no, at the time I thought, there were no women that had ever competed successfully in RAM.
That turned out to be a misreading. Two women did complete the 2011 RAM, and Carter did eventually discover her mistake.
But it was too late because I had already been gripped with this idea that that was not acceptable. Somebody had to change that fact. That was it. I just decided I had to do it. That's not entirely true. I thought about it for a little while. I tried to talk myself out of it.
But you were unsuccessful.
I was unsuccessful. I just couldn't let it go.
So Trish Carter signed up for the 2017 edition of RAM, which would begin in June. She put together a four-person team of riders and a support group of a dozen or so others. Carter, by that time 60, decided that the riders and some of the support team should all be about the same age she was. Before she set out, she was humble about that goal of being the first team of women over 60 to finish the RAM.
It's not much, but it's a thing that can be done. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Do the thing and you will have the power," or something like that. Just push the edge a little bit in a positive direction. Obviously, if a few people look up and say, "Oh my God, I can't believe a woman could ride a bicycle across the country at that speed," that'll be good too.
Agreed, no doubt about it. But in order for that to happen, Trish Carter and her team would have to ride bicycles from one end of the country to the other in 7 days. This would require a support team able to... Hey, you're curious about how the ride worked out, right? And I was too. So a few weeks after this summer's race, I reconnected with Carter. Trish Carter, this is Bill Littlefield. How are you?
Hey, Bill.
How are you doing?
How are you? Great.
I'm okay. I expected you to answer tired.
Well, maybe still somewhat in recovery.
About a third of the entries didn't finish the race. Trish Carter and her team did.
Remarkably, yes. Exhausted, completely spent, but great. And grateful that I was there, alive, safe, you know, that I'd made it.
And it could have been ugly. and it sometimes is.
And sometimes it isn't.
The Milky Way is so big and the sky is so magnificent out west. And we didn't have a full moon, but we had a decent amount of starlight.
They rode through desert heat and tropical storms. They rode against a 30-mile-an-hour wind blowing across Kansas. And as the race wore on, sleep became more essential and hygiene more optional.
The first night before I stretched out, I brushed my teeth and washed my face and flossed my teeth. Second night, it wasn't worth the floss part. I knew I could get through without that. It wasn't worth the lost sleep. So you can just take it from there. Everybody carved it down to the bare essentials.
The challenges for the riders, four women, all at or near eligibility for that senior discount at the movies, are obvious. Those facing the members of the support team may be less dramatic, but Trish Carter wanted to talk about them.
Two of the drivers were women in their late 60s and two were guys. And I talked to a number of people on the crew who later admitted that when they saw these two lovely women, just perfectly wonderful people, charming, show up, somewhere they had a reaction in their brains, which was, uh-oh, this is not going to work too well. And they didn't have that reaction about the guys.
And they shouldn't have had that reaction about the women who had to drive for 10 to 14 hours at a stretch, stay precisely where they belonged, in front of and behind the riders, and keep track of what those athletes needed and wanted and when.
As it turned out, these very amazing women were rock stars, and they even didn't drink much so that they wouldn't have to stop too often. They ended up being the ultimate authority on really what was happening all the time. And by the end of the race, we have a funny picture of some of the younger folk on the team
literally bowing down before them. You know, they completely blew away their expectations. And we had this little microcosm within our crew, our 19 people, we had a microcosm of what we were trying to do in the larger world around us.
It's a fine image that microcosm is for a big goal, teaching people not to stereotype or underestimate folks based on gender or age. And speaking of goals, Carter and her team raised tens of thousands of dollars for gender-specific medical research. But the more Trish Carter and I talked, the clearer it became that her personal goals were linked with that microcosm. She had recovered from an accident that damaged her brain and from various other losses less dramatic. Now maybe she could celebrate. Last time we spoke also, you mentioned that you've always felt like you could have been a contender. now that you've raced across the country, I don't know if you still feel like a contender or if you feel like a champ.
I don't know. I look, that's just me. I'm always going to feel like there's the next category that I should be stepping up to. I did something. I did. It was great. It was big and a very solid performance. I feel like the other people are the real elite athletes, and I'm just kind of hanging out in the neighborhood.
Just hanging out in the neighborhood. Well, not really. The day after the race across America, Trish Carter went to work at the baking company in New Haven, where she's the CEO. Bread this time, rather than cookies, she says, and I should drop in someday. But that's not all she says when she looks ahead.
I don't know the big next. I had thought I would be really wasted and not interested in racing this summer. And about a week ago, I jumped on my bike on a lark and went over to East Rock, which is about a 400-foot climb and a little over a mile. And I thought, well, let me see how fast I can go. And I zipped up it.
You probably don't have to be told Carter timed herself on that ride up East Rock or that she turned in a personal best. But just in case you do, she did. You're listening to Only a Game from NPR.